Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there. So this is an extract from a bonus episode that is now available on the show's Patreon page for $3 a month. If you'd like to hear more of this episode or of one of the other many, I think, very good bonus episodes that are currently available up there now, and of course more to come in the future, then just head over to the show's Patreon page and become a patron for at least $3 a month. This month's bonus episode is the second episode in our look through the Poems of the Exeter book, which is going to be quite a long-lasting project. So if you're interested in learning more about Anglo-Saxon poetry and the particular poems, some of the more famous ones and some of the lesser well-known ones from Anglo-Saxon England, then I highly recommend heading over there and seeing what's available. The subject of this week's episode is Christ to the Ascension, written by the poet Kina Wolfe. Much like the Advent lyrics, the second of the Christ poems, which I'll refer to here as the Ascension, is focused on another key moment from the Christian story, the Ascension of Christ 40 days after the crucifixion. The poem is one of four written by the mysterious poet Kina Wolfe, who drew on a wide array of scriptural and extra-biblical sources in the creation of this piece and his others. The Ascension is the Exeter book's longest poem, even with a leaf missing from partway through. Unlike the Advent lyrics, the Ascension is a single coherent work, clearly modelled on the homilies that were composed and read during the Mass. We can tell that this was the Kina Wolfe's inspiration, not only because of the prominence of homiletic sources he used, particularly the 29th homily of Gregory the Great, but also due to the deliberate play on typical homiletic forms which open and close the poem. So, for example, many homilies began with an address to the beloved people, men tha leophestan in Old English, gathered to hear the words of the priest. The Ascension begins with an address to Mon Semara, the illustrious man, who Kina Wolfe encourages to eagerly explore spiritual mysteries, Yeon Licha Gast Yerinum. Exactly who this illustrious man is debated. It's possible that he is a creation of Kina Wolfe's, meant to emulate the homiletic tone of his sources. It's also possible that he was a patron of some kind. Kina Wolfe, we assume, was a monk, although we don't really know much about him, so it's not clear if he would have needed a patron as such in the way that later writers like Shakespeare did, but it is possible that he wrote at the request of someone who wanted a poetic meditation on the Ascension and its importance to the overall Christian message. This person could have been a layman, it could also have been another ecclesiastic, we don't really know. The important thing is that it clearly demonstrates the extent to which Kina Wolfe approached this poem as essentially a verse homily, a text meant to expound on the text of scripture and its deeper meanings. When seen in that way, who exactly the illustrious man is ultimately isn't that important, at least not to the overall impact of the poem itself. Typical of Kina Wolfe's poetry, he adopts here the language and imagery of heroic poetry when addressing his religious subject matter, a habit he, like the author of the poem The Dream of the Rood, probably drew partly from ingrained Old English poetic custom and partly from the Latin Christian poetry that was the staple of early medieval monastic education. Since the idea was that education not only had to teach something new, but also provide moral lessons. Hello everyone. My name is Tom Kearns, and I host the Anglo-Saxon England podcast, where I cover the history and culture of England from the departure of the Romans in the 5th century to the Norman conquest in 1066. So far, we've surveyed the collapse of Roman rule in Britain, the migration of the Anglo-Saxons, and the history of Northumbria from its beginnings in the mists of legend to its destruction at the hands of Viking raiders in the 9th century. I hope you'll come and give it a go.